We have been in a series of sermons through the season of Advent that was entitled, What's in a Name? And each week our pastors helped us look at not really names, but more one of the attributes of Jesus. One of the things that Jesus fulfilled from the prophets. God with us, Prince of Peace, Mighty God. This morning, with Christmas now behind us, a new decade in front of us, and we bring to a close for us here at First Presbyterian Church, our Christmas, we're still looking at what's in a name, but this morning I want to look at the name. The name. Scripture tells us there's one name that at which that name is spoken, all of creation is going to bow and profess him as Lord. And as we approach a new decade, I cannot think of a better topic than the person of Jesus to help launch us in to our new year. Would you join me as we pray and turn to Scripture? Father, we are grateful for the gift of your word. We're grateful for this season, a time when we can slow down and prepare our hearts and minds in anticipation of the gift of Christ anew. This morning, as we turn to Scripture, Father, give us hearts that are fertile ground for your Holy Spirit to allow your word to take deep root in us. And in these next few moments, may your voice be the loudest voice in this room. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In Matthew chapter 1 at verse 18, Matthew records God's messenger coming to Joseph. I think Joseph may be one of the most intriguing people in Scripture. We read very little about him. He fades from the narrative of Christ's life and the Gospels shortly after the birth narrative. But in the four verses we're going to look at this morning, we see a kind, faithful, and selfless man who answered God's call and sought to love a young girl he was betrothed to be married to. Matthew records it this way. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Joseph sought to save Mary from public disgrace. He considered quietly divorcing her. And God's messenger came to him and said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The child she is carrying is the Holy Spirit's, and you're to raise that child and to name him Jesus. That's a big ask, isn't it? A big ask. Holy Spirit also, the angel also asks Joseph to do one other thing, to give up the prerogative he had as a father in that day. It was a male-driven culture to name his child. The angel said, here's the name of the child. It's Jesus. Now, in that day, that was not exactly an uncommon name. There would have been many Jesuses walking around. Kind of like Mike or Steve or Tim today. We don't have carols and holidays to Mike, Steve, and Tim, though. But 2,000 years later, we still celebrate the birth of the child that the messenger of God said to Joseph, raise as your child and name him Jesus. He was to be named Jesus because that name in that day was a contraction, a combination of Yahweh, God, Yahshua, saves. God saves. We don't see many people walking around today named Jesus, do we? Because the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and said, Joseph, Mary, Mary, and named that son. God will save his people. That's a pretty powerful name, isn't it? Particularly if you deliver. We don't think quite as much about names today. People still change their name when they're not happy with it. In 1907, there was a child born in Winsett, Iowa. His parents named him Marion Morrison. By all accounts, he didn't really like that name. He had an Airedale Terrier, which for much of his childhood was bigger than he was. And as he would walk to school with that dog, he walked past a fire station. One of the firemen loved to watch the little boy and the big dog walk to school. The dog's name was Duke. And the fireman eventually said, you're Duke, he's Duke, you're little Duke. Marion liked that name better. So he told his friends and family, my nickname's Duke. He grew up, faced some challenges in life, found a career in the movies, and the producers said, yeah, you're right, Marion Morrison just is really not going to sell many tickets. Why don't we call you John Wayne? But he's still known as the Duke, even having passed away a number of years ago. But even the name John Wayne, the Duke, he's got an airport named after him. He piled up a lot of awards. But you know what? He never really transformed our world, did he? He brought moments of escape to millions through his movies. He did good things with the money that he earned. But even as the Duke or John Wayne, Marion Morrison couldn't have the power to transform our world. There's only one name, one person by the name of Jesus, who has and some 2,000 years later still does. God in the flesh. There's power in being able to identify with somebody, isn't there? See, God had long promised, I will save my people. And God keeps his promises. And Jesus is that promise in the flesh, because God not only will save, God did save his people in the person of Jesus Christ. For the woman who touched the hem of his robe, for the blind that he made see, the lame he made walk, Lazarus who he raised from the dead, to this day, Jesus transforms life. He brings hope and new life, eternal life, in the midst of the despair and the darkness of human life. Something not even the Duke could do. So as we prepare to go back to school and go back to work and resume our lives after a respite of the holidays to celebrate the name of the person who transforms our world and our lives, I have a challenge for us. Maybe you're one of the kids in the room. And maybe like Susanna Carlin, who's going to go back to Brunson. Or maybe you're going to middle school or high school, or you're heading back to your college campus in a few days. Maybe you're heading back to your office at the bank or the doctor's office where you work or the law firm. Or life at home where you work finds the regular rhythm again. You have the opportunity to go as somebody who has known and been transformed by the name of the one person who can change lives. So if you're going back to a school and you know Jesus, go back, and by your words and your actions and the way you love and care for other people, be Jesus in that school. Because goodness knows, we need him there. If you're going back to a job, go back and take Jesus with you, with your words and your actions and your thoughts and the way you care for others and the way you do your job. Because I don't know about the specific place that you work, but I know there's not a room in this city or wherever you live that doesn't need Jesus. And we're all going to go back to a home, and the majority of us will have somebody else in that home. As you go back and start anew in a new year, in a new decade, take Jesus there. And talk about him and act like him and love like him. Because our homes, like our schools and our offices, they need Jesus. Because you see, what's in a name is what that name can actually do. Mike, you're not going to get a whole lot. Sorry. In fact, you're probably going to be disappointed. Jesus? Oh, you're not going to be disappointed. It doesn't mean you're going to have everything you ever wanted and like you've won the lottery, but it means you're going to have hope. You're going to have hope in the midst of the hopelessness around you. When your heart breaks, you will find peace. When your spirit lags, you will find hope. Because God saves. If you don't know Jesus as we approach a new year, and maybe you're saying, thank goodness 2019 is about to be officially behind us because it brought pain and despair and heartache. And I don't know that I can live another year with what that does to me. My challenge for you is to find a Bible. We'll give you one if you don't have one. And begin to read the Gospels. And take a chance by asking God to sincerely speak to you. Because there's no shame in saying, God, I'm really not even sure if you're there, but if you are, I need hope, and I need comfort, and I need to know that I can be saved. What's in a name? With all deference, Steve's and Sue's and Mike's and Jill's, we don't offer a whole lot of hope for this world. Jesus. That's the name. That's the name that has saved this world. That's the name that longs to give you life. And it's the name that our world desperately needs going forward. May we be the people who live each day with each breath as His people, living like He lived, loving like He loved, and proclaiming that God saves. Father, we are grateful. We're grateful that you would not leave us alone, but that you would put on flesh in the person of Jesus to save us. And we thank you that the name and the person of Jesus still 2,000 years later is alive and transforming and can still save. May we live as transformed people, as breathing witnesses to your goodness and your saving grace. In His name we pray. Amen.